Well, I've got Philippians. Is this still on?
Yep.
Okay. So I've got Philippians open, so I will read Philippians. So we're reading chapter 4, verses 10 to 20. It's entitled, Thanks for Their Gifts. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out for Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, would I desire that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. And now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And the words of smile. Smile though your heart is aching. Smile even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you'll get by if you smile through your fear and sorrow. Smile and maybe tomorrow you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness. Hide every trace of sadness. Although a tear may be ever so near, that's the time you must keep on trying. Smile. What's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile. That's the time you must keep on trying. Smile. What's the use of crying? You'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile.
Thank you. Still on, yep. Let us pray. God, I thank you for these words, for the words of wisdom of Paul, for this song that has made such an impact over the decades. Help us, God, as we hear these words, as we talk to one another, may we hear your voice to us today. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and redeemer. Amen. So as I was thinking about contentment, I couldn't help but think about what I was up to this weekend, which was our end of the year softball tournament. So I love to play softball. I've been playing since I was like five. I play with my husband in a co-ed league. It's actually a Christian co-ed league, so we're on a team that Parkwood Presbyterian put together. And I played Friday night and two games yesterday morning, which is a lot. And the older I get, the more it is. But we had a lot of fun, except, so we recently moved up a division. The way our league works, they kind of move you back and forth based on how much you win or lose. And we moved from the C division to the B division. But we're borderline as to whether we're really good enough to be in the B division. And we've only been there, we only had like three games where we got to play with these B division teams before the tournament. And Friday night was tough. And at one point, I think in the fifth inning, we were losing by like 20 runs. Like it was bad. And I will tell you, really hard to be content when you're losing by that much, right? And all we could think of was, if this is how this Friday night game's gonna go, like what's tomorrow gonna be like? Is it just gonna be like, just hard? But what was interesting was in the last inning, and we almost stopped. So our league says that sort of if the winning team is up by more than 15 runs at like the fifth inning, the team who's losing can just say, okay, we're done. Like, that's enough. I don't want to take any more punishment. And we were very close to saying, yeah, let's just call it a night. But there was a bunch of, like, we just want to play baseball, so let's just play. So we played the last two innings. And in the last inning, we got this rally going. And we scored 15 runs in the last inning. We didn't win, right? It wasn't enough. But, you know, we finished that game on a high. And what was interesting is we could be content with our loss, knowing that we'd put our best foot forward, and it felt like we weren't so horribly outclassed. And what I found on Saturday morning, and we lost both of our games on Saturday too, they were reasonably close, like within 5 or 6 runs, which for a softball game is pretty close. We kept thinking about our comeback on Friday night, and it gave us hope that even when it wasn't looking great, that it was always possible. And just the fact that we could keep the games close and we knew that we could do things, it was enough to allow us, I think, most of us, to be content with however the outcome came. So this was on my mind. Maybe softball's not your experience, but maybe you've had a time where it's been really hard to be content with where you are in life for whatever reason, maybe in work, in life, in family. And what I have found is that it's what happened for me can be true in other times where this hope of a different future can make a difference. So when I first chose Smile as a song for this series, I didn't know any of the history and background. I just looked at the lyrics and I was familiar with the melody. And I thought, you know, this is probably a pretty good contrast to Philippians 4. Because when you read the lyrics, it feels a bit artificial. It feels a little bit like fake it till you make it when you read it, right? It says, hide every trace of sadness, although a tear may be ever so near. And when you read those words, you might hear, so I'm supposed to pretend I'm not depressed. I'm supposed to pretend I'm not anxious. I'm supposed to pretend I'm not sad. I'm supposed to hide my grief and never show it. And that can be a bit of a destructive outlook. But context is everything, right? So what Chaplin was trying to do when he wrote the melody, and what I think the lyric artists whose names I haven't written down, it wasn't Nat King Cole, but were trying to do as they honored that idea, was remember this happened in the middle of the Great Depression, right? Everyone was feeling hopeless, that this would never change, that this downturn in fortunes, this difficulty in having enough to eat, finding work, all of the things that happened in the 30s, would last forever. And what he was trying to do, certainly in this movie and in many of his other works, was to bring hope, right? Was to tell people it's not always going to be like this. And so looking at it in that light, perhaps when he says smile, it's not to hide your present circumstances, but out of the possibility of hope that those circumstances might change. And this week I was talking to somebody and we were talking about how joy can sometimes bubble up out of sorrow. I don't know if you've ever happened where you've been at a funeral, or maybe you're part of planning a funeral, you're in the depths of very deep sorrow, and then something happens. Someone tells a story about your loved one or something, and the laughter bubbles up. And all of a sudden, you're laughing, and maybe you're laughing so hard there's tears, and you don't know why, but there's something about it that just comes out. And that joy and sorrow, that laughter and pain, they do interact. And I think there's something there that God is doing in that time. Right? One of the lines near the end of the song, you'll find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile. This idea that if you can find something that helps you to get through that sadness, that life can still have meaning, even though in the middle of it, it might feel like it has none. And that brings us to Paul. And Paul is writing a letter to the Philippians. Primarily, it's a letter to say thank you, right? So a lot of his letters were to teach primarily or to chastise, depending on the letter. But this letter is primarily a letter of thanks. And of course, he does teaching. Paul can't help it, right? He's always teaching. He's always the evangelist. He always wants to make sure the good news is known. But first and foremost, he wants to say thank you because the Philippians have helped him out, often at times when no one else would. They show their faith and they show their love for Paul through generosity. And Paul wants to make sure that they know that it matters what they're doing. And Philippians is interesting. It's one of the last letters that Paul wrote. So he is now, it's probably about 25 years since he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. So he's gone through a lot, right? And Paul, as he writes, is trying to find this balance between gratitude and not sounding like he's asking for more, right? He doesn't want them to think the purpose of the letter is to guilt them or trick them into giving him more money or more resources, but he wants them to genuinely know he's grateful. And Paul's been through everything, right? He's had periods of time where he's had prestige and honor and times where he's been persecuted. Right? He's had times when he has had plenty and times when he's hungry. Paul's had times when he's been constantly traveling and time when he's been imprisoned, times when he's been revered and times when he's been ridiculed, within the church as well as outside of the church. Paul has been through it all. He's even been through times of illness as well as times of health. Starts to feel a little bit like marriage vows if we start to list them like that. Right, but Paul has been through all these types of living. And I'm sure they weren't easy. Perhaps it still wasn't easy. He's writing, as far as we know, from prison. Right? So Paul is not currently free as he's writing this letter. But there's a constant. There's a constant for him in all the ups and downs for the last 25 years. And it's Jesus Christ. Right? For whom he is in chains, he says, who is exalted in Paul's body. If you read the letter of Philippians, those are the two things you find are gratitude and Jesus. That is the focus in every chapter, in every section. Gratitude and Jesus. And then he says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Now we could make a list of all of the verses that have been misused and misunderstood in the Bible. And there's quite a few of them. And I think this one would be on the list. Because sometimes when we say, I can do everything through him who gives me strength, right? People use it to mean, I can get that job that people say I'm not qualified for, or I can make the basketball team, or I can ace my test, or I can become an astronaut, I can win the lottery. Like, it tends to be about the things that I can get, because I can do anything through Jesus. But the problem is, in some ways, that's almost the opposite of what Paul is saying, right? Because just before this, he says, I have learned the secret to being content in any and every situation. I've learned the secret to being content in any and every situation. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. In other words, I can be content in any situation through him who gives me strength. Right? I think this is what Paul is getting at. If we want to find the secret to contentment, we have to start and end with Jesus as a basis. And he knows that Jesus is his constant, first because he met him on the road to Damascus. Right? And that wasn't an easy conversion experience for him, right? He's blind for 3 days. He gets struck down, right, first, before his vision is cleared. And then he has to go amongst the people he's been persecuting. And he faces mistrust and suspicion, I think rightfully so, over that course of time, right? Not an easy way to get to know Jesus and to be part and to lead his followers. And then he gets called to go against everything he believes in some ways as a Jewish man, as a Jewish Pharisee, in order to reach more people for Jesus. He has to go eat with the people he's been told were unclean. He has to go travel to places he's never been before. He goes and speaks in the synagogues in front of people who may also be suspicious about this guy named Jesus that we had to crucify because he was threatening everything that allows us to have our place in the Roman Empire, right? Paul was not asked to do anything easy. And yet he says through Jesus, he has contentment. Because Jesus has been there from the beginning. And he knows the stories from before Jesus came as a human. He knows the stories of God in the Old Testament, right? He knows how God came and talked to Abraham, person to person. He knows how God came and freed the Israelites from Egypt. He knows how God came and led the armies into Canaan. He knows how God came and gave woman after woman after woman babies when they thought that they had no hope. He knows the stories up to and including Jesus. And so he says, I can be content. And remember, he's talking about contentment in the context of gratitude, right? He's saying thank you to the Philippians, and he's encouraging them to continue to be generous. And I think that's important because I think it all works together, right? When it's hard for us to be content, for all of those things that we talked about at the beginning, right? In addition, what was interesting is a lot of the things we talked about what makes us content, they have an opposite that presumably makes us discontented. When we feel isolated and alone, when our family isn't safe or we're fighting with them, when all of those things, right, can have an opposite. And presumably, we might lose our contentment. And Paul suggests, and he says, that in fact, we have the opportunity to be content. Not that we're not going to do anything about those situations, but we can live with them in ways that don't leave us unsettled, that don't leave us off kilter, that leave us rooted and based in Jesus. And the way we do that, two of the ways we do that is through gratitude and generosity. When we can say thank you to God and thank you to other people for the ways that we've been blessed, when we can give generously out of the things that we have, time, talent, and treasure, it helps us to remember the blessings that God has placed in our lives. It helps us to remember the stories of how God has shown up in the past. It helps us to remember that the future can be other than what it is right now, that it can be filled with hope, that it can be filled with a better place and a better time and a better circumstance here or in the world to come. And I think that's what Paul is hoping for the Philippians. That's what I'm hoping for you, is that through reminders of past promises fulfilled, moments of gratitude today, that we too can smile, though our hearts are aching. So why don't we take a few moments, we're going to practice this a little bit, share amongst your table some of the things that you were grateful for this morning. And if you're at home, you can journal it if you're on your own, or you can talk with the people there. And let us chat together about the things we're grateful for, and then I'll close us in a time of prayer. All right, I'm going to pull you back. I hope you've had some good conversations. Does anyone want to share anything in particular they're grateful for with the larger group? It's okay if you don't, but I will ask the question. I am very grateful for the summer that we've had. To see all of you here is lovely. It's good to be away, but it's always good to be back. And so I'm glad. One of the things that happened this week that people may not be aware of is one of the churches that sometimes rents our building had their vacation Bible camp here this week. And it was wild. They had like 50 kids from like ages 5 up to 13. They had like some sort of junior leaders that were here that were older. And that's why our recycling is so full right now. But oh my goodness, it was just so cool to have. I love it when the church is full of energy and life and sound. And I think they had a wonderful time. And I am very grateful that we were able to do that and partner with them in that way. So yeah, lots of good things. All right, I am going to take some time to pray. I will leave some time for silence where we can offer up thanks. You can do that quietly, you can do that aloud, whatever you prefer. And then there will also be, I'll continue from there. Okay, so let us pray. God, I do thank you that we are invited to be a community together, that we get to meet here in the hall and during the year up in the sanctuary, that through music and prayer and reading of your word, we get to grow deeper in you and learn, hopefully, how to better be content, whatever our circumstances. Help us to remember our contentedness relies on you and only you, so that we might be able to see hope for the future. God, we're grateful for many things. I'm grateful for this community. I'm grateful for the conversations we've had and for the worship we do together. In our silence and in our words aloud, we lift up other things for which we are grateful. God, it is amazing how you hear the yearnings of our hearts. It is amazing how you want to hear the yearnings of our hearts. Thank you for the opportunity to express our gratitude and also to present our concerns before you. God, you know the people who are in our hearts that we're worried about, those people that maybe are part of the source of discontent in our lives, where we're not sure what's going to come next, either in relationships or in circumstances. And God, we want to lift those up to you as well, whether that's illness of ourselves or others of any kind, might be uncertainty around work or around family, relationships, maybe nervousness around going back to school, any changes that might be coming in the fall. God, you know all of those things, the deep grief that we experience when we've lost a loved one. And we're grateful that you invite us to walk those roads with you and with others who we trust and are connected to. Thank you, you never ask us to do anything alone. Help us, God, to feel your comfort and your peace. We wish that also. We pray that also for those who are not here, who need those prayers desperately this week. God, we thank you. You always hear our prayers. Help us to see how you are answering them. We pray. And we thank you also, God, for the gifts that you have given us. You have been generous in so many ways through our financial resources, but also through the time that we have and the talents that you've given us. Help us, God, to give little bits of those back to you through our congregation and in our lives, that we might see your kingdom grow, that we might see your love and your grace in our community, in our city, in our country, and in our world. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.